This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Nine months, including in the United States.
We had over 20,000 sorties, bombing raids over Syria.
Well, maybe they're not working. Maybe they're not working. Maybe the strategy, as the admiral pointed out, isn't working. If he can't figure out that his strategy is not working, we need somebody else to do that job.
And there are different dynamics, Joe, in Europe that are making Europe porous to ISIS attacks.
Well, there certainly are, but again, it goes back to what General Hayden said. General Hayden, you said we have to do more than just sit back and wait for the next attack. We actually have to strike them where they are. Why don't you answer Mike Barnicle's question to Mayor Giuliani? Does it appear that we have an effective plan of attack against ISIS right now?
Joe, my standard comment about our current plan is that it's under-resourced and over-regulated. Too many restrictions, not enough resources. And Mike just said 20,000 sorties, but if you do the math, we're doing about 20 strikes a day. That is not a relentless campaign. And Joe, can I just offer a comment on the previous conversation about what the president did? I'm going to say something that's going to sound pretty harsh, but I think it's true. That wasn't a mistake. That wasn't weakness. That was policy, his going to the ballpark and his spending less than a minute commenting on the attack. I actually believe in his heart of hearts the president's policy is that is not that big a deal. There are other things that are more important, and that was what he was messaging.
He has mayor.
Well, I'll tell you, if those words don't resound in your ear, I don't know what, but this has kind of been typical. I mean, we would hope at times the president would do something different. And we're talking about it, guys. Shannon Scott, before we went on the air, about the optics. The president doesn't really care about the optics. I mean, he's done this time and time again. Somebody gets murdered, he's out playing golf. And I think General Hayden hit it right square. This isn't a mistake. This isn't anything he's going to apologize for. This is his exact policy. And, of course, you know, here you got General Hayden, who we talked to, a couple weeks ago, the former director of the National Security Agency, Central Intelligence Agency. I mean, he's the guy. He knows what's going on, and he's calling out the president here. He's saying, 20 sorties a day on average. I mean, that is, as he said, under-resourced and over-regulated, which seems a bit typical of the policies of this administration, doesn't it?
Well, when has he had to take any heat over it? I mean, you think about it, it's why would he do it any different? Because he never gets, if George Bush had done this sort of thing, I mean, it would have been just chaos, But
we have
for whatever reason,
we have an example with Bush. Mm-hmm. Katrina.
Yeah, right, exactly. They were all over him.
They raked him over the coals for it.
Exactly. And here it is, with this president, he's been, time and time again. And maybe, again, I hate to play the card, but it just seems that because he's the first black president, we're going to let him, just run amok here. And the media is going to back him up. But even the liberal media is having a hard time because this is, it's been 7 hard years of them carrying his water. And it's difficult to support him. I mean, it's like either you're full on drinking, the grape juice 100%, or you start to slip, and this is what I sense. That's why I've said, long ago now that, I think when the president gets out of office, then there's going to be more revelation. Somehow the media is going to feel like they're a little bit more liberated to talk about some of these inequities.
You can't defend what he did. He has said all along that we're fighting ISIS. ISIS had an attack. They took responsibility for an attack, and he decided to go to a baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
That's his stated enemy to the country is ISIS.
Right.
And he decided to go watch a baseball game instead.
Well, Ted Cruz called him out and said, hey, look, at one of two things. You're either back in the United States, taking care of business, or you're on your way to Brussels. I think good call for Ted Cruz. This is Bill Martinez. More discussion coming up. Stay with us, America. It's just about five after.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on, stop.
Well, we're back with you, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. And if you want to drop me an email, it comes to me direct. We're always glad to hear from you. Regardless, I mean, I want to say something, but I'm afraid I'm going to, you know, look at this. Isn't about hurting my feelings. This isn't about tone. You know, as Donald Trump would say, look at it, it's about reality. We are offended with the way the country has been run. And I think this is what's happening is, you know, flyover America, you want to call it the moral majority, the silent majority, all getting upset saying, look at, we're losing our country. And I think that's what it's coming down to is more and more people are waking up to realize going, what in the heck has happened to the United States of America? Well, that conversation will continue, but, you know, I want to focus, you know, we started talking a little bit about the president, you know, being in Cuba, and our next guest here from Project 21 have some insight. Christopher Arps up next says, once again, President Obama being anxious to make history while appeasing America's enemies looked absolutely foolish this week as the Cuban dictator declared in front of him with a straight face that Cuba doesn't hold any political prisoners. I think we had a collective jaw drop around this country, Christopher Arps. Welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you with us as always. How you doing, sir?
Good morning, Bill, and good morning from flyover country in Missouri.
Yes, exactly. Well, Chris is a Missouri-based political consultant and co-founder of MoveOnUp.org, a 43-state network of conservatives and moderate black Americans. Chris, I know your jaw hit the floor as like everybody else's when the president stood there in front of Raul Castro and heard him make that statement. I mean, that's just incredible.
Well, that was one of the moments that made my jaw drop. The other one was the president and the other leaders taking a picture in front of the Che Guevara.
Yes.
Was that had my jaw dropping as well. It seemed like there would have been some handler or somebody there with the president saying, hey, we don't want to take this picture right here. Can we kind of slide over here and take this picture?
I mean, can you imagine all the Cubans back home? I was thinking of Ted Cruz, Rafael Cruz. We've talked to his dad a couple of times. Here's this guy who's chased out of his own country, you know, comes to America with $100 sewn in his shorts, Chris, if you can imagine that. And worked his way up, you know, doing menial jobs. And, of course, his is, you know, another one of those great, you know, American success stories that I keep hearing about only in America. But America wants to be lambasted because it's just such an awful country. But I don't know of any other country that you can go to and hear these kind of success stories.
There's no other country. I mean, this is the only country that people are trying to flee out of their oppressive countries to come to ours where they have freedom. You know, I was very fortunate over the last few months to get to know Rafael Cruz and Ted Cruz. I was working on the campaign in Iowa and South Carolina and here in Missouri. And just to hear Rafael tell his story of, you know, having his teeth knocked out, being in a dirty, bloody jail cell, you know, trying to fight for freedom, really brings it home when you hear directly from someone that experienced that. And you see our president over in Cuba, you know, basically appeasing a dictator to strike an item off his legacy list was just, it was appalling and very disturbing.
Well, what does that say to the rest of the Rafael Cruzes, you know, millions of Cubans who are here in America that see this kind of alignment coming? This just has to be rather disturbing for them, knowing that, you know, nothing has changed. I mean, other than you've got a brother now in place. Fidel is, you know, I guess on death hold at this point. But you know, with Raul there, there's no change. You still have the oppression going on. And then you have the nerve and the perspective of Castro saying, hey, look at, you know, we want to indict you for, you know, for the things that you've done in America. And the president is just sitting there, you know, taking this.
Well, I think the president and the way his allies see it is, you know, he was there to end the Cold War, put an end to our bad relationship with Cuba and move forward. So I think that's the tactic that they'll take forward and take at it. And they'll, you know, totally overlook that nothing has changed, that there still are political prisoners in Cuba. People still aren't free to come and go as they'd like. They're still stifling a political dissent. So nothing has changed, but, you know, the president says they have changed and has taken them off the terror watch list, so that makes them okay, I guess.
Well, I guess so, just because he says so. But did you find it interesting, Chris, that he's, it's like a, this is the other side of the bookend. You know, when he started his administration some 7 years ago, he went on the apology tour, as we know, in Europe, and now he's finishing it up here in Cuba, because it seemed like another extension of the apology tour.
Another part of the apology tour and appeasing, whatever you want to call it, you know. It starts off with, in Syria, with the red line in the sand that the Syrian dictator received that he went back on. We look at this Iran nuclear deal with the mullahs where, you know, they get billions of dollars and legitimacy and America gets nothing. And then we see it here with Cuba where diplomatic relations have been restored. We're supposed to act like everything is normal now when actually nothing has changed. Mm. So it's what I, like I said earlier, I think the president in his final year is just looking for legacy items to check off his checklist and whatever problems he, may be encouraging for the next president. Hey, that's on them. I've done my legacy list.
Is there any gain in this at all, Chris? I mean, is there something other than just saying, hey, look, we now can fly into Cuba and smoke Cuban cigars and maybe get a hold of a 57 Chevy. You know, what's the win at this point for America?
I think in the short term, there is no win for America. I mean, it just makes us look weak to our enemies. But in the long term, like I said, I think the president is just playing for his legacy. I think if you look at his domestic policies with the surge, with the economy, the terrorism around the world has just gone crazy. I think he's looking farther down the line that once those items started being talked about by historians, that he wants to offset that, talking about he struck a nuclear deal with Iran, he opened up diplomatic relations with Cuba, and, you know, those type of things to kind of offset his poor record.
Well, he really believes that the United States is better off today than we were 8 years ago internationally, that we're more liked, we're more respected. I'm not seeing that, but he is firmly convinced that that is the case.
Well, the facts say otherwise. I mean, terrorism, I mean, how many cases of domestic terrorism have we had under on his watch while he's been president? Look at all of the territory that ISIS or ISIL or Daesh, whatever you want to call it, look at the caliphate they're creating in the Middle East. You look what's happening in Europe, in Belgium, and in France. So, you know, he may want to think that that's his legacy, that the world has become safer because he's won the Nobel Peace Prize. But I think the world situation says otherwise.
Well, like you say, it comes from the top down, and you've got the President of the United States on this apology tour reinforcing what's being indoctrinated with our kids in the college campuses across this country, that America is less than. It is deserving of, you know, the beatdowns that we're getting, and that, you know, terrorism is just part of the root of our just desserts, I guess, so to speak. Christopher Arps, a member of the Project 21 National Advisory Council, has been with us. Chris, as always, good to have you with us. It's 14 minutes after the top of the hour.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
Call today.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Hey everyone, with 20 plus years as a radio host, I've seen about everything. One thing that keeps recurring though are these timeshare charlatans. These high-pressure salespeople who get folks to come out to some resort for a special weekend offer, then they get them in a corner and browbeat them and coerce them into buying a timeshare they don't need, they don't want, and they can't afford. And then they're stuck with that thing forever. Monthly payments, mortgage payments, annual fees that keep going up and up. Well, up until recently, people thought they couldn't get rid of these things. You know, you can't get out of the contract, you can't get out of the deed or the membership. Well, that's not true. My friends at American Consumer Credit, a timeshare release company, can get you free. That's their personal guarantee. 12 years in business, free consultation, A-plus rating with the BBB, they're the real deal. You want to get out of your timeshare contract? Call them now. 800-587-EXIT. That's 800-587-3948. 800-587-EXIT. Call now. 800-587-3948.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Getting America back on track.
It's alive!
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Bill Martinez, live.
I'll tell you, if we could only remember and hold on to that incredible saying, from one John Kennedy. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 19 minutes after the top of the hour. The Project 21 Black Leaders have condemned the Obama trip to Cuba. In their quotes, communism has never worked, can never work, and must be challenged. Why is the president cozying up to killers? This president has pole vaulted over America's territory of Puerto Rico, which is dying on the economic vine to play kissy face with the Castros. Cuba gets legitimacy and currency, while America gets empty promises. Castro turned on us, not us on them. Mr. Obama should think before he acts. Many members of the Obama administration are making excuses for this bastion of institutional racism. What we call, Horace, in the vernacular, not pulling any punches here, right?
You know, the truth of the matter is, the mainstream media have been giving the president a pass, and as he goes on what appears to be a legacy tour, we're asking people to examine the consequences of his actions. There is no net gain for America to reaching out and working out and legitimizing the despots in Cuba. Mm-hmm. To the degree that there was a opportunity for any kind of conversation, it should have come with significant concessions on the part of Cuba. We are in the driver's seat. The only thing that the president apparently prioritizes is him being able to have a history book say he was the first president to go to this despotic regime, and not what did he actually accomplish.
Exactly. Well, and that is the question time and again, Horace Cooper, is that we're saying, what is the productivity? Did he move the needle at all, you know, to where it could help America? It's like Cuba 1, America 0 here.
Well, now, see, here's the irony. There have been a number of voices that say, well, these American companies have been wanting an opportunity to provide services in that country because there are Americans who would love the opportunity to visit and participate in the livelihood of Cuba. This is very much so misguided. And the reason it's misguided, if you're bored, if you can't find anywhere on the globe and you've got a lot of resources in your pocket,
right,
why would you pick a place that insists that the people who are going to serve you, assist you, and provide for you are doing so mostly out of coercion or out of desperation? Why would you exploit the people who are so distressed and so displaced in Cuba just because it's this great untapped place to visit because it could be a lot of fun? That says to me that the motivation of even those ancillary voices isn't where it needs to be. The president of the United States should have called on Cuba to make concessions.
Well, speaking of those voices, Horace, people need to first realize this is not your father's Cuba, is it?
Oh,
I mean, if anything, it's gone down dramatically from those romantic pictures, Godfather movies that we see and think of Cuba. It is not the Cuba of the 20th century. I mean, it has been absolutely devastated by... go ahead.
The tyrant twins of Cuba, Raul and Fidel, are turning the governmental policies and the control that they exercise in ways designed to undermine the interest of the United States. Very few people have been discussing the fact that Cuba, this past, in the last 18-month cycle, was working with North Korea to make sure that their missile testing activities could go forward. The fact that Cuba, working with in tandem with another bankrupt community, the Venezuelan government, mm-hmm. to try to destabilize Latin and South America. There is no positive development. It is still the case that the human rights organizations aren't able to go in and examine in the prisons. They're not able to, even during President Obama's visit, get the government to agree to stop arresting people who hold a different perspective or a different point of view. The truth is, they are cruel, they mistreat their people, they deny the aspirations that we Americans recognize are inalienable rights. They deny all of those things, and now the president goes and says, well, you know, you provide health care, you provide education, you are providing what are fundamental rights. And we could learn from this, because I see those as similar rights. That moral legitimacy is shameful.
Exactly. Well, and the thing, it was Raul, right to his face, says, we're not holding any political prisoners. That's like, you know, the president saying to Bill O'Reilly that there wasn't one smidgen of impropriety with the, you know, with the IRS, right?
With the IRS.
I mean, you got two liars lying here. I mean, it's like, come on, give me a break.
And sitting on the world stage, people expect America to stand up for freedom. They expect America to stand up for liberty. And this was a great opportunity to use any conversation. You didn't need to have this visit, but to use any conversation as a way to condemn the behavior. Free health care, free education that comes at the point of a gun and that requires everyone to receive substandard health care and substandard education isn't anything to brag about. When are they going to hold free elections? And by the way, we are a group of black Americans at Project 21, and we're wondering why the media isn't asking President Obama why it's okay to support and legitimize an abuser of Cuban Africans. One of the biggest untold stories is how the Cuban government divides its people even along racial lines. Again, no upside to this and plenty of downside.
Well, unfold that a little bit more because people are not hearing about that, Horace, about the division of Cuban Africans here.
Well, absolutely it's the case that a number of international groups have been tracking this for decades now, that there is a difference in the access to even the government-provided services. There is a difference in the incomes. There is a difference in the housing opportunities where the government picks racial winners and losers. Now, when you have a totalitarian government, one of the definitions of that is there is nothing that is left off bounds for the government to do in terms of policy. And they have had a terrible, terrible record of going to the black former slaves that migrated to Cuba and confiscating what remaining private property was held that didn't get confiscated earlier, and then displacing those people and putting others in making sure that the government agencies have a preference or the opposite of a preference for those Cuban Africans. This is an interesting phenomenon for a president that continually focuses on race when there's a real example of racial bias. All you can hear are the tweets and chirps of birds because there's no sound coming from this administration. The world is watching, and the world is sadly being disappointed.
What does this set us up for, Horace, here? I mean, this is what I'm concerned about is, you know, the implication it has on so many levels. This president insists that we're better off today internationally than we've ever been because of his policies.
Well, we're not better off. We're worse off. And yet we have a few American companies who are under the impression that they are going to get a bargain here. The whole telecommunications network of Cuba may be up for a bid, and companies, American companies like AT&T, are under the false impression that they might actually win this bid. But you know who is more likely to win this bid?
Who?
Chinese state-run telecommunications, military institutions are more likely to get this bid and succeed because the Cuban government has not ever shown it and will never be open to people having access to the internet and free exchange the way we allow it. There's
exactly. Well, Horace Cooper, we're out of time. Project 21 National Advisory Board legal commentator on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Horace. 28 minutes after the top of the hour.
From the creators of God's Not Dead.
I hate what people like your clients stand for and what they're doing to our society.
A classroom answer.
One of your students sent a text to their parents. Did this happen?
If you're asking whether I responded to a student's question, yes.
And your answer incorporated the words of Jesus.
Could cost Grace Wesley everything.
The Thollies are asking that you be fired, plus revocation of your teaching certificate.
They're looking to destroy you.
I am not going to be afraid to say the name Jesus. I would rather stand with God and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God.
Peace, God, peace!
God's not dead, he's surely alive. He's living on the inside,
roaring like a lion. God's not dead, too. In theaters April 1st. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Tickets and show times available at godsnotdead.com.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profits. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Bill Martinez live.
Tell me just what you want me to be.
Well, welcome back, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez. Dr. Paul Kengor is with us, professor of political science, executive director of the Center for Vision and Values at Grove City College. His latest book is The Communist Frank Marshall Davis, The Untold Story of Barack Obama's Mentor. Paul, it's always good to have you with us on Bill Martinez Live. How are you doing, sir?
Good, Bill. How are you doing?
Hey, we're doing great here. I got to tell you, I'm in Florida. You're on the East Coast as well. You know, close to Miami, close enough to Miami compared to when I'm in California. I think that we'd be having a lot of Cubans listening this morning, you know, talking about this legacy tour that the president has been on. You say that he's atoning for America's sins in Cuba, and that that's the perfect headline. It seemed that way, didn't it?
Get it to me. Yeah. I mean, look, you have. It was Palm Sunday on Sunday, just a few days ago. Mm-hmm. I was in church. I was in Mass, and we did the Passion mm-hmm. narrative reading. And you have the Messiah journeying into Bethpage and Bethany. He sends the two disciples out before him to fetch a tethered colt that he rides into town. And then I get home, and I turn on my TV, and I check the news. And, you know, 2,000 years henceforth, Palm Sunday 2016, Barack Obama is arriving in Cuba,
mm-hmm.
and you know he lands there on Air Force One. He's the first president to visit there since, I don't know, is it Coolidge maybe?
Yeah.
You know, certainly since the entirety of the Cold War, and he goes there to this wonderful island. I mean, a lot of people don't realize this, Bill, but Cuba was one of the most pious places in the entire Western Hemisphere. I mean, this was an island so rich in the faith, and it's funny, when the communists pick a target, They did this with Bolshevik Russia too, which was the Russian Orthodox Church, super
exactly.
religious place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they pick the most religious, devout places, and they go in and they absolutely annihilate it. And there was Obama, lands there, and pretty soon, an hour later after touching down, he's walking through the Havana Cathedral, which has been totally monitored, censored, controlled, persecuted by the government since 1959. And we're supposed to all just, you know, jump up and down shouting hosannas to
yeah.
to our political redeemer, Obama, for doing such a great job going there and palling up with the Castro boys.
Well, I was saying instead of a Colt, at least he could have been in an open 57 Chevy Bel Air or something, you know?
right. You know, I'm wondering, too, I'd really love to get a frank appraisal from Barack or how about Michelle and the girls? I mean, surely, you know, the girls, the Obama girls who've grown up in America, they must have gotten there to Cuba and just looked at it, and it must have felt to them like, you know, people going to East Berlin in the 60s and 70s. They must have looked around and said, gee, where's the Starbucks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where are the malls? Where are the cars? How drab this place is. It must have really shaken them up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't care how much of a Potemkin Village dupe sucker you are to communist regimes, even an Obama must have gotten there and just seen the lack of literal color, the drabness, the coldness, and must have thought to himself, this is really what communism looks like.
Well, exactly. Very dark and dank, no doubt about it. Paul, we were talking with Horace Cooper just a moment ago, you know, saying that this is not your father's Cuba. I mean, Cuba back in the 20th century during its heyday, there was lots of vibrancy, as you say. There was a spiritual atmosphere. You felt there was this, celebration there in Cuba, but it is in a cloud of despair.
Mm-hmm. No, that's right.
Is that fair?
Oh, totally. In fact, I quote in my American Spectator article on this Thomas Merton, who some people listening will remember, actually probably mm-hmm. especially in your neck of the woods, but he had been an atheist communist at Columbia University, early 1930s, ended up becoming a devout Catholic monk, wrote mm-hmm. a number of really great books, and this is fascinating, this is so telling. Before he went into the monastery, he made a special final pilgrimage to Cuba because Cuba was the place. And he wrote in his memoir, The Seven Story Mountain, he described Cuba as, quote, heaven right here in front of me.
Wow.
Listen to this. Every morning I could find my way quickly into any one of a dozen churches as old as the 17th century. Almost as soon as I went in the door, I could receive communion if I wished. Every 15 or 20 minutes, a new mass was starting at a different altar. Everywhere I turned, there was someone ready to feed me with the infinite strength of the Christ who loved me, unquote.
Wow.
I mean, that's the island that the Castros took over and just destroyed. I mean, they've completely destroyed this place. So, that, you know, again, I look at these pictures of Obama, that press conference yesterday where there's the big black kind of backdrop, there's the giant communist Cuban flag next to the American flag. And again, Bill, he has that typical, he gets like this. He lifts his head kind of up in the air. He sort of sticks his chin up, and he gets this really kind of haughty attitude like, I'm here now to speak to both sides, right?
Yeah, right.
I'll lecture the Cubans a little bit on their unacceptable bit, but I'm really here to tell the Americans, you guys have been Neanderthals too, right?
Mm.
Well, no, I mean, that 70 to 100 miles south of Key West, of the shores of Florida, has been a communist dungeon for over a half a century. And the reason that we continue the embargo is because the Castros simply haven't done what Fidel came to America in April 1959 and told Meet the Press and the National Press Club and Richard Nixon and the Eisenhower administration and everything else that he was going to do, hold free and fair elections.
Mm.
If he would have held just free and fair elections, that embargo would have been lifted right away. That's his fault, not our fault.
Exactly. Well, you know, and I want to go back just a moment here because you talk about the spiritual roots of Cuba. And Fidel wasn't without spiritual roots. I mean, he was, didn't he go in the monastery? I'm not the monastery, but he went, he was going to be a priest, I believe, at one time, wasn't he?
I've heard that. This is true of a number of dictators that went through this. I mean, Pol Pot had a had an amazing Buddhist education as a child in a Buddhist pagoda, and then goes on to make the 80,000 monks in Cambodia all renounce their vows. You know, Hitler.
I mean, yes.
Hitler had been a choir boy, Roman Catholic. Mother wanted him to be a priest. Stalin's mother wanted him to be a priest in the Russian Orthodox Church. Stalin actually went to seminary. So this happens a lot, where these people raised in the church turn their back on the church, and in many ways makes the transgression even that much worse. Lenin said, "I took the cross off from my neck and I threw it in the rubbish bin." So a lot of these guys openly spurn religion. I mean, Karl Marx. Marx had been a Jew, an ethnic Jew, whose family converted to Christianity. And then when he went to college, he rejected the faith. In fact, that's something I should add here. A lot of these guys rejected the faith when they went to college, which is what happens a lot in the United States
exactly
to this day.
So well, and that's the problem I've had, Paul, and of course, I mean, you're an academic, and you see what's happening with your profession, and how our young kids are being indoctrinated today, positioning America as less than and supportive of this president's apologetic tour. You know, I was saying to Horace Cooper in the last segment that, you know, the president started with apologetics tour in Europe, and he's going to end his administration with an apologetic tour in Cuba.
Yeah, yeah. How fitting that is.
Somehow fitting, ironic, but nothing has changed. He still insists that we're better off today than we were 8 years ago, but I don't see it.
Right, right. No, it's a very depressing situation. It's very sad. It really is.
Well, and I think that you brought up something very clear, and that is the depression that you see, this cloud of depression over Cuba. I don't know. We'll see what happens going forward. Dr. Paul Kengor, Professor of Political Science, Executive Director of the Center for Vision and Values at Grove City College.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
This report is brought to you by Mile IQ. With tax season upon us, Americans are thinking about basic charitable giving and mortgage deductions. But many forget about mileage deductions, despite the fact that millions of Americans qualify for it. There are more than 60 million self-directed workers in the U.S., all of whom can take a tax deduction for the business miles they drive. According to the IRS, the mileage deduction is the single largest deduction for Schedule C filers. Mileage deductions are frequently audited, so knowing how to correctly track this information is critical. U.S. workers who use their personal vehicle for business purposes drive more than 12,000 miles per year on average, which could equal deductions of more than $6,900. Chuck Dietrich, co-founder MileIQ.
It's really important to have a reliable tracking system when deducting or expensing your mileage. Our app, MileIQ, available for iPhone and Android, automatically and accurately captures all of your drives and provides all the information you need for your mileage log.
For more, visit MileIQ.com.
By now, you know the smart way to buy emergency food storage is calories per dollar. Ready Supply Foods sells you 50% more food for your money. GMO-free, 25-year shelf life, great tasting, and free shipping. You need 2,000 calories per day under ideal conditions. Most 30-day kits don't have enough calories to sustain you for more than a week. They just don't have enough nutrition to do the job. See the comparisons for yourself at ReadySupplyFoods.com. We are the new leader in value and quality. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com today.
Destroy harmful bacteria, allergens, bed bugs, dust mites, fleas in your home with the Ladybug Steam Vapor System. The Ladybug dies deep on surfaces without any toxic residue. Traditional control agents contain toxic chemicals which do more harm than good. Sanitize and disinfect using just water. Quick, fast, and surprisingly easy.
Find out more now by calling 800-997-6584. Ask for Randy. That's 800-997-6584. Or go to advap.com/GCN. That's advap.com/GCN.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Don't know what's in your drinking water? Better get a ProPure. With the Pro-1 G2.0 all-in-one filter, remove over 200 contaminants, including fluoride and lead. Taste water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure water filtration products. There's a ProPure system for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details on our current free shipping special or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
So speak life, speak life.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. Good to have you along with us. For more information, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. You want to drop me an email. I encourage you, get involved in the conversation. Let us know your thoughts. We love to hear from you. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Ryan Morrow is with us, National Security Analyst for the ClarionProject.org, which produced the hit films Obsession, The Third Jihad, and Uranium. Morrow is a frequent analyst on Fox News Channel and other news outlets around the world. And Ryan, I know that you've been very busy ever since the report of what happened in Brussels.
Oh yeah, very very busy. Lots of media calling. But what I think is being missed in a lot of this is first of all the radicalization process of the one suspect that was captured in Brussels. I think is very interesting that we can talk about. But also that we're dealing with a network in Europe now. It used to be that ISIS would inspire some people to carry out an attack, and it was one or two people that kind of did it mostly on their own accord. Now they actually have a network of safe houses, a web of contacts. They travel internationally, and that's very dramatic to see. We first saw that in Paris, but this shows that it extends to Belgium and is still in existence.
Well, you bring up something rather dire and significant here, and that is we've opened up the borders for jihadis and people like this. ISIS is taking credit for what happened in Brussels, and they're jumping up and down, high-fiving here. And the world, I would say, is complicit in their expansion.
The world is complicit with some Muslim countries supporting the spread of their basic ideology, even if they oppose ISIS, but they're supporting the spread of anti-Semitism, the belief that the caliphate is a good thing, that America is horrible. This is the result that you get. But then you also have responsibility by the part of Muslim communities in Europe and to some extent the United States, and also the governments that have that completely have dropped the ball in seeing what was about to happen in terms of ISIS, and we have this problem in the West, and I think most democratic countries have this problem, where we only start kicking things into gear after getting punched in the face real hard. You had all the ingredients and all the signs for a disaster when 9/11 happened. We knew that that could happen for years, but until it actually happened, people didn't wake up and things didn't start changing, and change can take a long time, so we are always a few steps behind.
Yeah, without a doubt, we've been more reactive than proactive, to your point here, Ryan, and you've been saying that, gosh, almost ever since I met you and you started coming on the air here. So for you, not a big surprise, and it may have to get worse before it gets better, sadly.
Yes, and one of the interesting things about this is that this comes after the arrest of a suspect that was involved in the Paris attacks, who was going to carry out a suicide bombing, but apparently chickened out last second, and then tossed his vest, fled to Belgium, and then decided, no, I am going to carry out an attack. And so they arrested him, and that got a lot of attention because it was a high-profile suspect. Mm-hmm. What I was interested in was his radicalization process, because before he became indoctrinated with radical Islam and joined ISIS, you know where he was seen hanging out? At
where?
A gay bar.
Oh, wow.
So this is a guy that presumably had some homosexual inclinations, was definitely drinking a lot, and then ended up joining a group that kills people that do that. That shows how powerful of an idea this is. As crazy as it is to us, and we can't imagine that someone would adopt it, that's how powerful and addictive it is.
So somehow he felt maybe he could redeem his evil ways by going jihadi, and then he tosses aside his suicide vest and gets shot in the kneecap. And, of course, I don't think that delivers any virgins, does it?
Exactly. So his life has really been a mess the past few years. So he's first hanging out at the gay bar, then he goes to jail for armed robbery, I believe it was, and then he joins ISIS. And when you join ISIS, really the central message when it comes down to it, even though the media doesn't like to talk about it often, is that this is atonement for sin. So you have someone who has presumably engaged in homosexual behavior, at least hung out with that crowd, drinking a lot of alcohol, which is illegal in Islam, and it's considered one of the worst sins. And he says, I'm a crummy person. What do I do? I'm a terrible person. What do I do? And their answer is, as bad as you have been, if you die in a violent jihad, that is the only guaranteed way to get into heaven. You don't really know up until that point. And so that's what he wanted to do. And then look what happens. He gets shot in the kneecap, and he doesn't even get that.
Well, we think, you know, it's pretty outlandish to have that kind of thought process, but that is really convicting for somebody who feels they're so lost. They violated all moral principle, have debased their family, and their only way to heaven now is for them to, what the heck, what have they got to lose, right?
Right, so where a lot of Muslims, even a lot of the extreme ones, will say is, well, I'm confident that my good deeds outweigh the bad, but you don't really know. You can't quantify how much good you did in life and how much bad you did. You don't know what standard it is, and so you don't know if you're crossing the finish line into heaven. And so groups like ISIS and them say, well, there is one way to do it, and that's to die in violent jihad. And so it's their equivalent of what Christians believe in regards to Jesus, except it's a much more violent and a horrible solution.
Yeah, without a doubt. And of course, it's all the other stuff. I mean, come on, it's got to be iffy. I mean, even in their heart of hearts. And I got to hand this to the Muslims. I appreciate their level of conviction. Here it is in the West. We allow Jesus to be insulted and God to be insulted all the time. But yet Muslims, I mean, don't even think about insulting Muhammad or you're going to pay the price. So I think there's some things maybe we can learn about the things that we believe in versus what they have demonstrated, even though as radical as it may be by our own estimation, it's that, at least... You know, I can give them credit for respecting their God more than we do here in the West.
Well, speaking individually as a Christian, not behalf of any organization I'm affiliated with, as a Christian, it shows me, it makes me more convicted about my faith because I see how unique it is, how special it is, how we take for granted how great Christianity is because we're surrounded by it. But then when you compare it to these other thought processes that are out there, you see how just really unique and amazing and it is. And that, for me, is evidence that it is true. And so it's a powerful testimony in that way.
Well, you touch on something that I've been trying to drill down to for quite a while here, Ryan, and that is how diabolical this has come down to, where it is... It is Islam versus the West. It is the Muslim way of life with Sharia versus America. For a long time in this country, for the sake of free speech and that, we've allowed people to come in, and without any kind of fight back or resistance or anything, we've allowed them to take over our institutions, our educational institutions, and indoctrinate our children. in you know, purporting this myth that America is all bad and the Muslim faith is all good, and this kind of stuff would not be happening to America if if we hadn't done something wrong. Now, I believe there's some, you know, some aspect of that argument that has some validity, but yet to throw aside all that America has done, not only for this country domestically, but for other nations around the world, you know, I believe it's rather myopic, it's one-sided, it's very prejudicial, and it's no wonder that America is under attack and is at war, I would say, right now more than ever.
Well, on the topic of how you handle Islam, there are Muslims who are very devout in their faith, and they study their faith, but are still pro-American and believe in separation of mosque and state. There's a movement called the Muslim Reform Movement that's saying, look, we've got to modernize our interpretations. We don't view that as a betrayal of the faith. It's just God gave you a brain, and you're supposed to use it rather than sticking to the interpretations of a long time ago. And so I think that's very positive. But you're right, that is an ideological clash. And part of the reason you see this imbalance in terms of the conviction of Christians versus Muslims is that in Christianity, you can doubt your faith. Personally, for me, I doubt my faith all the time, and that's what's made it stronger over the years.
Exactly.
But in Islamic cultures across the board, doubt is viewed as a moral failing. And so if you're in the privacy of your own home, and you even check out a girl for too long, or you start doubting your faith, instead of saying, it being kind of relaxed about it and saying, all right, well, I'm going to find the answers, you start saying, oh, I messed up again. I'm a bad person.
Right.
And then the thought sticks in because you're still thinking about, oh, I'm still a bad person. And it just escalates. And that element of shame, that I'm not worthy, that leads to people acting out in extreme ways. Because how do you live a life like that?
And you're surrounded by that pressure, whether it's your family, the place you work, the whole dynamic that comes into play, the pressure of that shame is really thrust upon you. And you can claim taqiyya only so far, but the Muslims know that you can't fool them, you know?
Yeah, the issue with taqiyya is that that's actually supposed to be a last resort. You're not supposed to just lie in any circumstance, but you can lie for the sake of jihad, for the sake of preserving your faith, if it's a last option. So if you're at work and you feel that you'll lose your job because you converted to Islam, you can lie in that case because you have no other option. But this level of deception is something that also Americans have trouble grasping because we look at things through film, I think. So when we think of a liar, we also think of the crummy person who is killing people, stealing, just a fundamentally bad person. We have trouble understanding that you can have someone who genuinely loves other people, does charitable things, is pleasant to be around, and it's all genuine, it's not deception, but then also believe in very radical, horrible things like anti-Semitism and terrorism.
Exactly.
And for us, we have a great difficulty in reconciling all that, but if you talk to people in the Middle East, that's consistent. That is, they understand that people are multi-layered, and you can be a good person in great ways in some ways, but then have that percentage of you that's absolutely awful and is going to make you kill innocent people.
Well, Ryan, wrap it up for us. 15 seconds. What do we take away from Brussels?
You're looking at the future of the United States if trends persist. And to learn more, you can go to clarionproject.org and sign up for our newsletter.
Ryan Morrow, I'm Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it.
It's no secret that pathogens such as bacteria, viruses, molds, and fungus can inflict severe damage in the human body. Fortunately, a new and vastly improved silver solution has been developed. Supernatural Silver is a revolutionary broad-spectrum antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal solution that can be used inside the body as well as on the skin. Supernatural Silver is unique and superior to colloidal and ionic silvers, using a patented technology that is highly effective against colds, flus, infections, food poisoning, and yeast, in addition to many other pathogens. Supernatural Silver is scientifically supported, extremely safe, and is the number one choice of thousands of people for immune system support. Find out how Supernatural Silver could change your life. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code HEALTHY for 20% off. That's supernaturalsilver.com. And like us on Facebook.